Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to keep delving into the 2026 OHSAA White Book, which this particular section is covering the rule changes for NFHS and 2026. Looks like we've got a couple of them here, so should be some good fodder for the episode.
Yeah, so the first one is a restriction on the use of electronic devices by players while on the field and a restructuring of Rule 8. Those are the only two changes that we have for 2026, which is kind of cool.
Those are the rule changes. There is something in the book there that changes as well with regards to us.
Yeah, us umpires. So let's start with the rule changes. 196. No player shall transmit or record audio or video from the playing surface. New language further clarifies the use of electronic devices and what is not permitted. The reason for this, the rationale, this change clearly defines the types of electronic devices prohibited by the rule. I think it's funny. I can't help myself. I'm such a smart aleck. I have to say, you know, no player shall transmit or record audio or video from the playing surface. 4 feet above the playing surface, however, is fine. But the playing surface, it's not fine. So you're not allowed to be on the field transmitting any audio or video from the playing surface. So, which is interesting. I had this happen actually in a sectional game a couple of years ago in Licking County. I won't name the school, but the school was in Licking County. And the first base coach, I was actually a base umpire, and the first base coach said, "Hey, be careful if you say anything. My second baseman's wired up, mic'd up." And I'm like, "What?" Like, yep. There was a radio show, and they had a mic on the second baseman. And the principal actually found out about it. I may have been listening to the broadcast and come down to the field and said, "Get that mic off of her." But now we know it's not even legal in NFHS.
Yep, because remember, the rule originally talked about receiving. So we were concerned this rule, by allowing these electronic devices originally, the point of it was to allow things to like signal pitches in or signal plays in to the teams. This is from the dugout to the field, right? But then, you know, so it's like, what's a proper device? What can you have? Can it be an Apple Watch? Can it be this? Can it be that? You've got these other things. You've got, again, two-way communication. What if it's a little radio? What if it's this? What if it's your phone in your pocket? Whatever it is, we're starting to say, no, okay, we mean this. Stop trying to skirt the rule. No recording or anything at all whatsoever. So that involves no transmitter recording. So nothing that would allow them to talk back, talk to the radio stations, whatever it is.
Right.
Pretty simple and pretty clear.
Yep, for sure. I'll tell you, I can remember some of the players that I had when I was in coaching high school, and I think putting a mic on them would be pretty risky.
Yeah.
Right, so, all right, Pete. So there's something happened with Rule 8 too. What happened there?
Yeah, so in this case, all they did was Rule 8 was reformatted for clarity. Changes have been separated, longer articles and organized exceptions, penalties, and effects into outline format for improved comprehension. And rationale, added article references to penalties and effects. Section 4 was separated to two sections, addressing runners entitled to advance with and without liability to be put out to delineate the differences. So it was just not, this is a formatting problem, you know. It just looked like a wall of text or a confusing jumble in there. You could pick it apart. You could say, there might be some people like, what are we doing? Are we just going to handhold? No, it's clarity. It's not only for us umpires, us super smart umpires. It's for them dumb coaches too. You know, whoever wants to read the book. I'm kidding.
I'm going to get sampled.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, obviously anyone who wants to read the book, you want it to be simple. You don't want it to be like some crazy instructions, you know, for putting together some cabinet or whatever. Like, you want it to be understandable. And so visual organization is a piece of that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think having a focus on being able to find it in the rule book is an important thing. And when you bury stuff in the middle of a paragraph of text, you know, that makes it a little more difficult. So
they
figured that out here. And so they separated it into a couple of sections and made some of the longer articles smaller, which is good. So I love it. And then there's a situation for umpires, and this really truly is a situation, but certainly glad to see them moving this direction, at least personally. And so umpires have the option of wearing heather gray, charcoal gray, or navy blue slacks effective January 1, 2027. Heather gray slacks will no longer be permitted as part of the umpire's uniform. So that's heather gray is leaving. Right. So this is the last season here in Ohio anyway, in the areas of the country where the season is spring. This is the last season for heather gray pants. And for our Ohio listeners, this says navy blue slacks are allowed, but that's not for Ohio. That is for other states could possibly adopt those navy blue slacks. But in Ohio, it's going to be heather gray or charcoal gray for 2026. And as far as we know, only charcoal gray for 2027 and beyond. So the manufacturers have discontinued producing the heather gray umpire pants. So this change will assist the umpires in the purchase of pants that are currently being manufactured. It also makes it a little bit easier for the umpires that work college games as well. The heather is not a college approved color for pants, so everything's charcoal in college. So reduce the number of pants that you have to have in your umpire gear to be ready for.
And Ohio actually is allowing heather gray to go forward a little farther than that. In the same white book, there's a section on the update on uniforms where they say in 2026, if you and your partner cannot agree, heather gray is the default. And then 2027, it says if they don't agree, charcoal gray will become the default. But then it goes on to say, this will allow umpires to wear either pants color, but they must be dressed alike. So 2027, they're still even allowing heather. They're just saying when purchasing new pants, you're encouraged to get charcoal. This will become mandatory in the next few years. So it sounds like Ohio is going to slide that out a little bit, just maybe because people have so much invested in pants. But
could be.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, got a little smirk on my face for that one. It's you go to the feds versus the states. You know, we don't do politics here on the show, but, you know, federal law says this, the states can go further. It's unusual that you would see the states not go with what the feds are saying, you know, as the minimum, right? So allowing those heather gray pants into 2027 actually goes against the rule. It doesn't go beyond the rule, right? But we're not in charge. I'm not anyway.
I secretly am.
You're in charge,
Pete? Yeah, I'm part of the Illuminati.
You're in charge. Got it. Got it. Sidebar, hilarious sidebar. One of my right-hand man at work got an email that was inviting him to become a member of the Illuminati, and it was lengthy, and it seemed to be very appropriate. And he sent it and said, "Hey, if you're looking for a laugh, read this." And I'm like, "Why are you laughing, dude? You know, as a high priest in the Illuminati, I'm allowed to invite people to join. It's not funny." So anyway, then that part was funny.
Nice.
I'm not, by the way, a high priest in the Illuminati.
I don't know. There's really nothing else we can say. Here we go. So the additional thing here is that there is also some additional clarification on replants. So we can change the subject.
Yeah.
So rule 247, you know, we talked about, you know, we got NFHS allowing the leap for the first time. But then that came in lots of things where there's a lot of discussion. We saw it online. What's a leap? What's a replant? When do you release the ball? What happens? What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. NFHS wanted to address that slightly. In 2025, they did definition of replant was further clarified, and it's worth kind of reviewing, and they are bringing it up here as well. A replant of the pivot foot occurs when the pitcher pushes off the playing surface from anywhere other than the pitcher's plate, resulting in the non-pivot foot becoming closer to home plate prior to the act of delivering the pitch. So the additional phrase is designed to more clearly explain what a replant is and better align this definition with the description of a pitch given in Rule 612C. So often the pitcher has one or both feet landing, either from a leap or a drag, on the playing surface at about the same time the pitch is delivered. At times, her momentum may cause her pivot foot to continue moving forward. This movement alone is not a replant and not a violation of the pitching rule. A replant only occurs when she pushes off from the spot in front of the plate and there's a resulting forward movement of the non-pivot foot prior to the act of delivering the pitch. So again, I can't tell how many videos I would see where people would push and be like, is this a leap or a replant? That's a replant. You guys aren't calling replant. You guys don't have the stones to call replant. That's why you're not calling, you know, oh, whatever. And it's like, no, that's not what's happening. Just because she lands and like releases and hops, like, cause her whole momentum is going to make her, if she doesn't, she's going to fall on her face after, you know, cause her cleats are like dug in the dirt. She either gets them back out of the dirt again or she falls. It could happen.
Yep.
So it's like, but when was the pitch released? What happened? Was there an initial, a secondary push from a location other than the plate itself? Let's use some common sense.
Yeah. So in 2018, we weren't allowed to lose contact with the playing surface, right? So leap was not allowed. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, a senior in high school in 2018, for that 2018 season, was often caught on camera with both feet up off the ground and rarely called for an illegal pitch. And that is unfortunate. That means that the umpires were not following the rule book and doing what they were supposed to be doing and calling illegal pitches. So one of the the reasons that the leap was allowed, and this was published, so this isn't David making stuff up. One of the reasons that the leap was allowed in multiple sanctions was to hopefully help the umpires more consistently identify an illegal pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, was she really off the playing surface? Was she not? It's like, yeah, it really doesn't matter because I can't believe I'm going to say this on the podcast, but just the act of leaping doesn't necessarily provide a huge advantage to the pitcher. However, the landing and pushing again from a place that is closer certainly is an advantage. And so the rules have been changed to clarify that and make sure that it's understood that that's illegal. However, what it's caused is some more confusion in the umpire community for what is a replant versus what is not. And then further, how to identify that replant. And each sanction, I will not confuse the issue here. This is an NFHS episode of the podcast, so we're not going to talk about any of the other sanctions. In NFHS, the clarifications that we've heard on how to identify it is that you watch that front stride leg, and when that stride leg is on its way down, if it changes its path and is going to come down closer to the plate and the batter, then that means a subsequent push has happened, and that's how you identify that replant and the actual push from a place closer to the plate. And I do find that to be helpful. I was a clinician at a clinic a couple of weeks ago, and this question came up, and there were several really good umpires there helping. And that's the best way for us to tell, in our opinion, at the high school level, if a replant has happened.
Yep. If you think about, if you just watched that front foot, if you were focusing on that front foot, you would see a path that's going to be parabolic from when they take off, right? Because both feet are on when they start, and the foot goes in the air as they drive out, and then it comes back down. So a rainbow. If that path, yep. And it may get kind of linear, you know, it's not going to be a perfect, this isn't, you know, negative X squared or something graphed out. Like, this is literally could go out, get a little linear as it goes down, kind of gradually lands in. But if you see that, change the path, as Dave's describing. If you've got this path that looks like kind of a flat rainbow, and then at some point, it goes either starts the rainbow again or goes linear for kind of a long time because they've hit and like pushed a second drag. That's unnatural. And that is a key indicator that a second push has happened, right? Because that first foot, all it's doing is falling. You drive and now gravity's taking effect. That's what's happening. But if it then starts over again, we have liftoff.
Yep, for sure. So, and that's it. It's really that simple. So for our umpires looking for, man, how do I consistently call the illegal pitch? I would give you two things. One, it has to be clearly an illegal pitch or it's not illegal, right? If you have to go, man, I'm really not sure, then it's not, right? You have to be certain that she has replanted and the pitch has become illegal for that reason. And if that's the case, then you must call it. You must call it.
Yep.
If you don't, you're going to run into the, that's another section, I think, in the white book. Are you that umpire, right? So we'll talk about that later. But you have to call it, folks. Please call it. The pitchers are going to need you to call it early in the season so that they don't get it called for the first time when they go to regionals.
Yeah, it's May and all of a sudden, bring a ding ding. Yeah.
You're at your district tournament and you've got three umpires, and so now you've got somebody whose number one job really is to watch you and make sure that you're not pitching illegally, and we can't have it be the first time that she's been called that at the district tournament, right? So please call illegal pitches when you see them.
Yep. And that's it. That's our episode on these rule changes and this rule explanation, I guess.
Well, then it's a wrap. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Until next time.